You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Welcome back to the podcast that this is, which exists. The name is escaping me right now, as is my own name. I am floating amorphously in a jar of pure thought right now, completely lost and untethered from the reality that normally binds me. Sophie,
Robert,
what are we doing? Who am I?
You are the only Robert Evans.
And that's
this,
good.
And this is Behind the Bastards. And we're here with Billy Wayne Davis, Anderson Dog, and me.
Thank you. I was lost in the Phantom Zone, but now I feel grounded and ready to talk about Harry Hoxie some more.
Oh my God, thank goodness.
He's still kicking. He's
speaking of kicking, Billy, how are you doing?
I'm good. I got some Gatorade and a Pop-Tart.
Got some Gatorade. Oh, Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like the necessary equipment. Well, let's tear back into this dirty paper sack of history.
He is a piece of shit. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
The
American medical establishment was still quite new in the 1950s, and at first it did not have one stray fuck of an idea about what to do to stop Harry Hoxie. The men of the AMA were studious and learned, but they thought like children of the early 1900s. And Harry Hoxie thought like a 21st century grifter. This is a guy who was like using the same playbook as Alex Jones and like, you know, Mike Adams of Natural News, but he's using it in like fucking 1950. Like he's just so far ahead of these people that it takes them a long time to figure out like how to actually combat his particular brand of bullshit. Hoxie sent copies of his new autobiography to every senator and representative in the United States, and he also started talking about running for governor. He expanded his touring to members of other fringe groups who hated the AMA and the FDA. His chief ally in this was Gerald B. Winrod. Have you ever heard of Gerald B. Winrod, Billy?
No, I'm excited about that.
We're probably going to have to talk about Gerald B. Winrod in detail at some point, but the short of it is he was an evangelical preacher from Kansas.
Hell yeah.
Winrod, yeah. He's the sort of person we talk about every single time we do an early 20th century United States episode. He's kind of in the same vein as Father Coughlin. Both men are like aggressive religious fundamentalists who either tip right up to or go right past the line of explicitly endorsing fascism in the United States. And Winrod is a past the line kind of guy. He'd run for Senate back in 1938 on a platform of I found a master's thesis from Bethel College from a student named James Schmidt who discusses what his platform was. And I think that's going to do a better job of sort of walking you through this guy's political ideology than I could do. So I'm going to quote from that now. Using radio station WIBW in Topeka, Winrod broadcast his program of reform. His seven-point proposal called for defense of constitutional democracy against communism and fascism, reconstitution of the national character, rigid observance of states' rights to combat the growing federal bureaucracy, absolute neutrality in foreign policy, return of control of the monetary system from the Federal Reserve Board to Congress, repeal of the New Deal labor and business legislation, and an attitude on the part of the national government that will inspire confidence in order to encourage the controllers of private capital to create honest jobs. Winrod also sent mass mailings using Dr. John R. Brinkley's 150,000 name mailing list and drove in a car equipped with a speaker, taking his message directly to Kansas voters. However, because of the apparent anti-Semitism and near support for Hitler's anti-Jewish policies in his previous speeches and publications, numerous Kansans opposed his candidacy.
Oh, the Hitler guy?
No,
we
can't.
Well,
no, he opposes fascism. He's just also an isolationist and doesn't think we should do anything about Hitler. And also, Hitler's kind of right about the Jews.
Yeah.
That's Winrod. Yeah.
What? I also said it on a loudspeaker that I put on my car.
Wow. I am against fascism, but we shouldn't fight fascism by fighting it. And also, the fascists are right about the racist things they say.
And the way they run their government is pretty cool.
And the way they run the government.
Yeah.
I'm pretty okay with fascism.
Oh, I meant, yeah, no, I thought you meant, yeah. You said something else. No, I like fascism.
Yeah, I thought you were saying like fascism, and I am not okay with rap talk.
No, don't
sir.
Like rap
cousin. No. Now, Winrod had actually visited Nazi Germany back in 1934, and he hadn't exactly been unhappy about what he'd seen there.
No shit.
When he lost his election, the vast majority of the votes that he got came from parts of Kansas traditionally considered to be Klan strongholds, which gives you an idea.
I was going to guess who lived there. Yeah. I was going to guess who was in charge there.
They have interesting ideas about what can be done with bedsheets, to put it mildly. Yeah.
Well, so, it looks like he won Boss Hog County. Look.
Oh, Lord. He wound up being charged with sedition in the mid-1940s for having, quote, feloniously and knowingly conspired, combined, confederated, and agreed with each other and with officials of the government of the German Reich and leaders and members of the Nazi Party. You know.
Yeah. But I don't like
not
fascism.
Not a great thing to do.
But
I'm against fascism.
But
I like some fascists. I like all of the fascists. And I think we should do what they've done here, but I am not in favor of fascism.
I am a member of fascism, but I'm against it from this standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
That is my signature. Yes. Yes.
One of the fun bits of little history here is that Winrod was actually the model for Buzz Windrip, the fictional American Führer cooked up by Sinclair Lewis for his book, It Can't Happen Here. So that's neat.
Wow.
Yeah, he's that guy.
He's like, you gotta
he's that
say,
guy.
That's me. Mm-hmm. He wrote that about me.
And he winds up working with Harry Hoxie. See, after the war...
Yeah,
after the war, his sedition trial ends on a technicality because the judge dies.
I think the universe has the best sense of humor. If we're being honest.
It's very funny.
That's what,
in an objective sense.
I mean, purely objective. Like, not being a part of it and being fucked by it a lot sucks. But, objectively, that's what this podcast proves more than anything, is the universe is
funny.
Hilarious.
It's funny in the... What's the name of the guy? He played the parrot in fucking Aladdin. Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried, yeah.
It's funny in the same way that Gilbert Gottfried's set right after 9/11 was funny.
Yes!
Where, like, it is actually very funny, but everybody gets really angry.
Yeah.
That's the universe's sense of humor.
Yes.
Gilbert Gottfried making a 9/11 joke like a month later.
But with nailing it with timing and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Slamming it home.
Yes.
But just really pissing everyone off.
And you're like, I'm going to have to go inside. I'm going to have to go to the bathroom so I can laugh at this. But
I don't want anyone to see me laughing.
God, it's so funny. That's the definition of funny, what he did there. But... people are going to be mad. And they're mad. Yeah, they're mad. I knew it.
Yeah.
That is the yes, that is the definition of the universe.
Yeah, and I learned a lot from him, which is why I decided not to open this episode with what's corona-ing my viruses. I just figured that was a good call.
I would have loved that.
Why am I laughing so hard?
Because you read Robert's tweet where it was like 60,000 people died of the flu last year, so I don't think we should freak the fuck out just yet. I think the Chinese might be using it to see how well they can control cities and shit.
I'm not going to get into conspiracy talking here, but I do think that, like, I think if you are, for example, someone very close to me is a Chinese citizen and has family over there, and they're incredibly worried, and it's a very scary time. You are not, like, a friend of mine is going over to Europe and was worried, and I'm like, you're not gonna get coronavirus. You'll be fine. Like, you will be okay. This is not something to freak out about for you. Anyway, that's very much outside of the.
I like weed and conspiracy, so like
I do like weed and conspiracies, and I would love to. I don't know. There's we'll do an It Could Happen Here season and talk about it. Yeah.
Here's what Billy thinks might happen. This will not happen.
Billy says it could happen here. That's season two.
Yeah, Billy at 10 p.m. says this could happen.
Yeah. We'll watch like one episode of the X-Files first, but not like one of the the mythology ones. one of the like Monster of the Week ones, good ones. Yeah.
The good ones. Yeah. Those are the ones. Yeah. Yeah, I'll get bored with the rest of them. Like, this code means this. Like,
it gets too. Anyway.
Yeah.
I like a Yeti. I want Yetis and Mothmen. You know, that's all I want. I want FBI agents fighting Mothmen. I would agree to increase the FBI's budget if they would agree to only fight Mothmen. But, alas.
I think if you said that, there would... Don't say that to the wrong FBI agent. He's like, that's how we're going to get funding. That's smart.
I feel like every honest FBI agent would much rather be fighting Mothmen, but...
Without a doubt, yes.
Because they all grew up watching Fox Mulder. We know it.
Like, yeah.
That's just the way it is. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get in the FBI... do patterns and shit.
No, you want to get to shoot at a Mothman in rural Oregon.
Yeah, that's why you wear the sweats every morning.
That's what we all want. That's why. That's what we all really want at the end of the day. Anyway.
Get the cool jacket.
So, we're talking about that guy Winrod. So, the judge dies, his sedition trial ends on a technicality, and in the wake of it, he launches a newspaper, The Defender, which he used to pump out anti-Semitic and anti-black propaganda for his audience of 100,000 Americans. He also argued for the existence of flying saucers and ran copious ads for non-traditional medicines. In other words, like Dr. John Brinkley, his peer, Winrod was basically 1950s Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. So, he's talking to people about, like, aliens and racism and selling them fake medicine and also yelling about fluoride in the water. He's a big anti-fluoride crusader.
Like, really? That early?
Yeah. He's just Alex Jones.
Yeah. It does sound
it's
like
the
a
same guy.
Blueprint of that man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. And like, you know, so Winrod gets into this business of like spreading propaganda and bullshit medicine, and he immediately sees that Harry Hoxie's stupid fake cancer cure might be a gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
So Winrod had already made a fortune selling Glyoxylide, which is a fake cancer cure from Detroit. And he'd established the Christian Medical Research League in order to study, read, market this cure, read, poison. Winrod quickly got to work selling Hoxie's nonsense, too. He began claiming that he'd been treated with it as a young boy and it had saved his life.
There we go.
So, readers should definitely try this shit.
Folk it up a little bit.
I don't like the Detroit slander.
It's not
out there.
It's just
not slander. It's just where it happened.
That's it. Yeah, you gotta own it.
I don't like that.
Y'all gotta own your shit.
No,
look, bad things happen in Detroit sometimes.
Even the closest bad thing to happen in Detroit. That's not even on the list.
It's really in the upper 40%.
Everybody should visit Detroit.
I didn't say it's bad now. I'm just saying the history. There's been some
Detroit.
Not great.
It's complex.
It just hurts me to see fake cancer cure from Detroit.
It means a lot of the other stuff coming from Detroit.
That is completely
fair. That's the point I'm
making. I'll let you continue.
The bad guy city from this is still Dallas, okay? So we can
the worst of the D cities. That's fair.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
not even a question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for his work, Winrod was paid more than $80,000 by Hoxie. This was not disclosed to the readers of his newsletter, and it eventually came out in a court case, which Hoxie lost. Rather than show any shame at all, Winrod published a letter to his supporters begging them to let out daily persistent argumentative prayer for Hoxie. He also asked for donations so he could continue Hoxie's anti-cancer crusade. Last, he asked his readers to each send him the addresses of 5 cancer patients they knew.
Oh, oh man. God.
Woo. Oh, my God. What a piece of shit. He's just basic.
Keep pushing. Just keep pushing it. God.
It's really golf clap on that one. A-plus level grifting.
It's a pyramid now, grifting.
It's smart. Yep. Winrod and Hoxie were good allies, but Hoxie knew that any good grift had to diversify. So he also started working with the American Rally, an isolationist group dedicated to peace, abundance, and the Constitution. The members of American Rally were outraged at the fluoridation of water and believed the polio vaccine was poisonous. They also believed in flying saucers. The American Rally thought Hoxie was not only a great healer, but a potential vice president, and maybe a good bet to run alongside a senator named Langer in the 1956 election.
It's just, everything you said was just like a Mad Lib. And then even vice president is a funny thing.
I know, it's amazing.
He should be the vice president. And you're like,
he should be the vice president.
He's just fucking closer.
And you've got anti-vaccine and anti-fluoride shit and like a right-wing isolationist Tea Party-like group. It's just nothing has ever changed about the United States of America in the entirety of the time it's existed.
No, we're just aware of all of it now at all times. Yes.
It's awesome. It just rules.
It is awesome. I mean, that's why I like doing what I do as I travel around the country. Yeah. People are like, no, there's no way. I'm like, oh, you guys should drive around. There's a way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This will work somewhere. Whatever dumb thing you can think of, there is a part of this country where it will make you the biggest man in town.
Yeah, and you'll find a partner that will make you guys even bigger.
Now, they bring him in to Hoxie into this American rally, because they want him to be the vice presidential candidate. And they introduce him at a Chicago event by saying, "The spirit of Lincoln is here tonight." And Hoxie responds by telling the crowd, "The AMA killed my daddy, the same bunch of rats I've been kicking ever since."
Just folk it up. They know what they're doing. It's not dumb. It's not dumb. It's disingenuous.
Yeah. Ooh. And the book Medical Messiahs points out that American Rally was one of a number of Hoxie-supporting organizations, all of whom were united by an idea called medical freedom, which is, quote, defined as the right of every individual to seek treatment from Hoxie's clinic and other clinics and practitioners frowned on by the Orthodox medical establishment. Two such groups were the American Association for Medico-Physical Research and the American Naturopathic Association. Hoxie and his associates spoke before their meetings. At a naturopathic convention in Chicago, Hoxie addressed himself to the theme, "Who are the real cancer quacks? And may God have mercy on their souls." Yeah.
The theater. He is good.
He's not bad, no. Now, while Harry Hoxie couldn't ship his cancer treatment across state lines, nothing was going to stop people in other states from advocating for the Hoxie method there. In Pennsylvania, his greatest backer was a state senator named John Haluska. So many senators and congressmen get involved in this. He knows the right thing is like people trust, at least at this point, people trust their senator or their congressman, and they don't know anything about medicine, but doctors do. So I'm going to try and convert a bunch of fucking politicians. That's the smart way to spread your bullshit.
And he's brilliant. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, Haluska was just as dumb as all the other politicians we've talked about today, but he at least had a little bit of an excuse. He'd lost his mother and baby boy to cancer, and he credited Hoxie with saving his sister's life, claiming that actual daughters had given up on her. She had, in fact, been treated successfully with x-rays, but Haluska didn't like to talk about that for some reason. He probably just thought that the x-rays had only made it worse, and it was, you know, I don't know.
Or maybe they did the x-rays on the wife, too, and that didn't work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, who knows? Haluska lost his job as administrator of a hospital for trying to convert the nurses there to carrying out hoxy treatments, which is fair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No. This seems like poison. Yeah. Haluska took this as a sign to open his own cancer clinic out of a remodeled appliance store / garage. Eventually, this clinic was successful enough that Hoxie himself came to visit. He was greeted by a parade and was introduced to the Pennsylvania Senate by Haluska. After a round of applause, the state senator publicly introduced Hoxie to Kathy Allison, a young girl from Indiana. He said, quote, "Here is that little angel who, according to medical science, had to meet the angel soon. Today, she's going to school, was x-rayed last week and found to be cancer-free, and is playing like any other normal child." But you got a good feeling about Kathy Allison, Billy?
I don't, if I'm being honest, have a good feeling.
Yeah, she died 8 months later of chest cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what you expect.
Fuck.
The FDA succeeded in bringing suit against the clinic in Pennsylvania, and a jury ordered its medicine destroyed. In April 1956, the FDA published a warning in the Federal Register, revealing that its scientists had thoroughly investigated Hoxie's preparations and found that they were both useless and potentially deadly. It turned out that the actual content of Hoxie's medicine varied widely from day to day, and some preparations they'd studied included potassium iodide, which the FDA had found actually accelerated the growth of tumors. They noted that they had found not a single certified cure among all his patients.
Not fucking one.
I think
that's how they ended that report.
They should have included a fucking in there. You're just absolutely not right.
Fucking one of them.
Not a single goddamn one. Now, this was actually the very first time in history that the FDA ever publicly denounced a cancer cure as absolutely fraudulent. In 1957, they doubled down on this by asking U.S. post offices across the country, more than 46,000 of them, to put up public beware posters warning patients about Hoxie's cure. And this seems to have helped immensely. The agency estimated 3,000 people were kept away from Hoxie's snake oil in the first 30 weeks.
It was like it saved lives.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Thousands, probably. Well, hundreds, probably.
Hundreds.
A lot of them probably didn't have cancer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it saved a lot of lives. And you know what else saves a lot of lives, Billy?
Mm-hmm.
So many lives. Therapeutically and medicinally guaranteed, FDA-backed to save lives. Every single product and service that supports this podcast.
I knew that.
Yeah, and if it's a Mike Bloomberg ad that comes up next, that will, in fact, cure your cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It did.
That's my...
No,
and
it
if
won't.
It doesn't,
Robert,
you have to sue
off.
Mike
no,
yourself.
It, won't.
It might. You don't know.
It might.
There's no proof that it won't.
I will say
it
this.
Won't.
Mike Bloomberg has the ability to cure all of your cancers. Mm-hmm. He chooses not to, but he could.
Yeah.
I'm not
and that's just charisma
that
alone. That's just all charisma. Yeah. He is charismatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, here's some products.
And services.
The evidence keeps pouring in. At this point, the facts are undeniable. It's an open and shut case. Monopoly Go is the most fun you can have in a mobile game. Millions of people pass Go every day because this game is always bringing something new to the table. Countless crazy tournaments you can join with your friends as partners or teams. Constantly changing challenges like money sprees or treasure hunts that keep it fresh with new wild mini-games. Timed events offering bonuses like massive multipliers or rent frenzies to help you get huge rewards. And there's so many rewards to discover. Rare stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums, delightful emojis to taunt people with when you raid their riches, unique playing pieces, and so much more. The verdict is in with Monopoly Go. There's something new to discover every time you play. So don't miss out. Go download it now for free on the App Store and Google Play. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless, when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/behind. That's mintmobile.com/behind. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/behind. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
We're back. So, yeah, when we left off, the FDA has, like, put out 46,000 warnings about the Hoxsey treatment in post offices all around the country, and this has proved to be very effective in stopping people from buying into his bullshit, because this was an age in which people still trusted the government to some extent, so wouldn't work now. Nowadays, I imagine that would increase your sales substantially, actually, if you were a bullshit treatment, but it was a different time. So Hoxsey saw the FDA's actions as enough of a threat that he sued the government for issuing these warnings. He lost the case, and Haluska lost an appeal that he filed in Pennsylvania. By October of 1957, the FDA could happily announce that they had been successful in all federal court cases against Hoxsey's treatment. With each trial came more and more testimonials from patients who'd learned the hard way that Harry Hoxsey was a fraud. And I'm going to quote now from a McGill University write-up on the Hoxsey treatment. Quote, a former patient testified that he had been diagnosed with cancer and offered a treatment for $250 and a 6-week recuperative stay at Hoxsey's hospital for $360, a lot of money at the time. He recovered, but not from cancer. Actually, it later turned out that he had suffered from barber's itch. The other instance, an FDA undercover agent was diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer that had metastasized to the lungs and told he had come just in time for the cancer to be arrested. There was an arrest, all right, but it wasn't of the cancer.
Whoa, that's awesome.
It's just like eyeballing a cop and being like, yeah, you got lung cancer.
The cop's like,
I
don't.
Yeah. So, the FDA is very successful in winning all of their court cases against Hoxsey. But, alas, as they admitted, quote, such actions will not end the menace of this treatment, since the federal government does not have the power to stop a clinic in any state from treating cancer patients within that state with the nostrums which comprise the Hoxsey treatment. Millions of copies of false promotional literature are still in circulation, much of it reporting cures of persons who are now dead. Bummer. And in this, they were lamentably correct. The next couple of years saw the gradual dissolution of Harry Hoxsey's U.S.-based businesses. Texas court cases saw his license revoked and his ability to practice medicine in the state ended. So it only took Texas, I don't know, a decade and change. You know? Well, more like 20. It took Texas a long time. But they did eventually take his medical license away. That had been granted to him probably for $10.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that's good. That's good. Yeah. Yes. His honorary medical license.
They're like, hey, give us that receipt back.
Yeah. I do love that, like, if his story is true, his dad, who gave him the cure, was grandfathered into having a medical license, and Harry's was honorary.
It's
that's awesome.
I earned it just like my father earned it before me.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm. Hoxie was forced to lease his clinic to someone else, but the FDA succeeded in getting a permanent injunction against his treatment. From late 1960 on, the Hoxie method of treating cancer could no longer be legally practiced in the United States. So that's good.
That's good.
That's good.
That's...
That does not, however, mean that you cannot still get the Hoxie treatment if you want some fake medicine to deal with your real cancer. Because in the mid-1960s, 1963 to be exact, one of Hoxie's nurses moved... You know where we're going here, Billy.
Oh, I know where. Yeah.
Tijuana, Mexico. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She set up the first cancer clinic in that grand city. And it is still in operation to this day.
Yeah, it is. Why would it ever stop?
Yeah. So, the fact that this... clinic has been in operation in Tijuana, Mexico for like 50 some odd years has provided actual doctors with some opportunity to like test how well the treatments work. And I'm going to read a quote from that McGill University paper on that now. In 1999, the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, certainly not an anti-alternative organization, examined evidence submitted by a Hoxie clinic in Mexico and found that of 149 patients who had been treated, only 85 could be tracked down 5 years later, and of these, only 17 were still alive. Such a 26% survival rate is not exactly the claimed 80% rate, and probably could be achieved by an anti-cancer diet of frog legs, snails, and Mexican jumping beans. They got a little racist at the end there.
Okay, I was going to say
the point.
He was being a dick at the end. Okay.
He was being a little bit of a dick at the end. But the point is, it doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
And it's still, now, you can still go down there, though.
You can. You can go down there and get it. You can get it right now. You can go get your cancer treated. If you're in San Diego, you could be getting cancer treatment by this afternoon.
Yep.
You could listen to this on your way down.
You could.
Say
you
hi
the
to
train.
Them in Rosarita. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It's nice.
So Hoxie himself stayed in Dallas. He transitioned seamlessly from selling fake medicine to investing in the oil and gas industry.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, it's kids.
Oh, okay. So you're just selling just holes mm-hmm. in the ground. Yeah, that seems a pretty easy transition.
Now when I burn people's faces off, nobody even gets angry. They just say that's the way it's supposed to work.
And they're like, yeah, that's what we hired them to do. Sometimes their mm-hmm. faces get burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 1967. He attempted to use the Hoxie treatment, but tragically, it did not work. He was forced to undergo conventional surgery, which saved his life.
No.
He spent the rest of it hiding from the world and died alone in 1974.
He was like, you know what, you guys, I see a lot of you have a point now that I can't. I'm going to go away.
Yeah. It is, and again, if he had been a modern grifter, he never would have gone away. He would have found a way to roll with the punches. But he was an old man by then, you know. He'd rolled a lot.
So much rolling, if we're being...
Lots of rolling.
That is the most impressive. I mean, all the bastards I've covered, they've been...
There's an element of impressive to them all, sure.
A persistence that I do not understand. And I'm a very...
To make it in comedy. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it's purely persistence. After a certain year of skill learning, you're like, well, now it's just persistence. And these guys are just like, I'm going to go to Mexico and do this. You're like, what? I'm gonna burn some faces off. And you're like, oh, I guess. Go down there. I just don't understand the main goal. Like, because they keep losing money, a lot of them. So... I don't know. I get confused as to like what drives all these motherfuckers sometimes.
What drives all these motherfuckers? I don't know. Maybe just money. But
But a lot of them don't have a lot of money.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is... I think honestly, most of it in every grifter, most of it is social cachet. And the money is kind of... part of getting the social cachet. It allows you to be... They want to be a big man. They want to be a big, powerful, important person.
Right.
That's what it always comes down to, I really do think. And I think that was that with Elizabeth Holmes. She wanted to be mm-hmm. a hugely influential, powerful person. She was always more interested in the like sitting on different boards and giving advice to the government sort of thing than actually making anything.
And she's always like, name dropping other powerful people. Yeah, you're exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And even the voice thing, that is, she studied powerful people. And that's what that movie is. Yeah, that's a deep voice. People respond to authority, the deeper voice. Like that. To me, that wasn't fascinating when people were like, can you believe she changed her voice? I was like, no, that's
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I change my voice because people take me more seriously when I speak the way that I speak than the way I grew up talking. You know?
Well, people are like, you can lose your accent. I'm like, no shit. But I like to make people laugh. So it helps.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened. That's the only downside of coming from Tennessee. And while we're talking about Tennessee, Billy, you're the only Ten I see.
Oh, that's...
I've never gotten to use that line before, and I...
You use it pretty smooth. That's the smoothest I've ever heard that line used.
Thank you. I've practiced a lot. I like to shout it at people as I pass from cars.
listeners couldn't see Billy go, aww, on his face. It lit up.
It's nice.
Now, the Hoxie treatment is still very much alive.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
No, there is too much momentum behind this grift for it to ever die. Now, in 10,000 years, the only remnants of our society will be the war in Afghanistan and the Hoxie treatment. It's just going to be them floating in the void. So, Hoxie's bullshit treatment is very much alive and well. In fact, the move of his nurse to Mexico in the mid-1960s sparked the birth of a new industry in Baja California. By 2002, there were more than 70 alternative cancer clinics in Tijuana and Rosarito, none more prominent than the Hoxie Clinic. Today, Billy, if you decide, I want to get some cancer cured, but not by a doctor in a way that actually cures my cancer, if you make that call, you know, which who hasn't felt that way from time to time?
I mean,
if you decide, so if you start looking into Hoxie treatment, or like if one of your relatives is like looking into Hoxie treatment,
that's all I was thinking about. Like people you know going to be like, just
here's what's frustrating. It is old-timey enough that it's kind of a pain in the ass to research what the treatment is. If you look at the first page of Google results, there will be a couple of accurate articles by authoritative sources tearing it apart, like the McGill University article, but there are just as many positive sources about Hoxie on the first page of Google results, including the Amazon page for the book Hoxie Therapy, When Natural Cures for Science Became Illegal. And right below that, the website. Fuck you,
fuck
people.
That title.
Right below that is the website for a documentary, Hoxie, How Healing Becomes a Crime.
Hearing stuff like that, it's like it answers that question. Like, how can anyone be against the legalization of marijuana? And you're like, you hear people defending stuff like that, and you're like, oh, well, that's...
No.
It makes total sense, because people are just like, I don't know this stuff over here, but this stuff, and you're like, you're right. You're fucking right.
And I'm a big marijuana should be legal, and in some cases, mandatory advocate, but like, obviously, the whole medicinal marijuana industry is at least 50% nonsense. Like, I have had it advised to me. Every time I've had it advised to me for anything but a treatment for, like, mild pain, it has not done a goddamn thing. Which is not to say there aren't things it can do. There's a lot of really interesting research going on about, like, the ability of certain cannabinoids to, like, you know, fight cancer and stuff. That actual doctors, it's not just smoking pot, obviously.
Well, and then, they can't give you a strain. That always cracked me up, too. Yeah. Like, this strain is, like, good for this. And you're like, you don't know that, because you don't even know.
Oh, you got a lung infection, bro. You got a lung infection? Smoke this strain.
Yes. Yes.
No, just, man.
Oh, is that a canker sore? Here, hit this shit. And you're like, not after you.
Here's the herpes concoction of fucking hit this pipe. Marijuana.
Like, no, I'm not hitting that pipe. That is, but it is that, and it sucks because it's also like,
You see this with every good drug, with alcohol back in the day. Everybody loved alcohol, so suddenly, like, doctors would be like, oh, alcohol will treat this. Alcohol will treat that. Yeah. Getting drunk is the right cure for this. And it's really only the cure for kidney stones.
Yeah.
And a lame party.
And sadness. But,
Yeah, and sadness. All three
it,
of those.
It doesn't make it worse at all.
But it is like that frustrating, yeah, like, yep, it's just this human nature.
Exactly.
Thing.
I think that's, yeah. You said it best, where we're both yeah. just like, it's just that, and then it's just human nature, where it's like,
yeah.
It's like how bacon was really popular a couple years ago. Remember that?
It was huge. And
why?
Now it's like a Republican thing, too. It's weird the road that bacon went on over the last like 15 years. Yeah.
It's a bit of...
And people are like, I eat bacon. Are you triggered? Like, no, dude, everybody likes bacon.
Have you had
Fuck
bacon?
Off.
That's like a thing yeah. people like. It's like the watermelon yeah. and black people thing. It's like, that's just good. What are you talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah. It's, well, yeah, there's a whole long racism. We actually may do a fun episode on like all of the horrible histories behind those particular stereotypes, but I don't know. This is off topic a bit.
Yeah.
But it is like this feeling I have about... I have this theory that we would not have the problem we currently have with like bullshit medical treatments if we had never started the war on drugs.
Yeah.
If marijuana had never been this counterculture thing, if it had always just been like, oh yeah, you can just go down to the farm across the street and pick some weed and smoke it.
Yeah.
Like, and no one had ever made it into a thing. I don't think it would have attracted, you know, doctors would hopefully still be finding useful medical things from it, but it wouldn't be this like weird cult in the same way that alcohol doesn't have this weird cult. Like there's people who like to drink, but there's not like this, it's not the same thing. I don't know.
Well, it was never.
Yeah.
You only had to go away from somebody to use alcohol for a short period and then you got to all use it again. I think that's what made pot. Where you always had to go away to use it.
Well, and it's also, I think, the fact that the path to starting legalization, like, I don't think marijuana would have reached the point that it currently reached without that interim where everybody was really pushing the medical aspects of it. Like, where we would all have to go get, like, prescriptions and shit. That was a critical...
We all saw that. It was like, this is just a step. And accept a step. That was a cool part of, the cult of it.
Yeah.
Was we all recognize the bullshit of it, but we're like, well, just do it. Just do it this way. And then... But I think to go along with what you're saying, what happened, and it's that snake oil shit, where once it's out, is once CBD, they discovered it, and now it's in everything. And I've been talking about this...
Fucking everything.
I've been talking about
There's two ice cream places I can walk to that have CBD ice cream.
I was like, 2 weeks ago, my grandmother, I was talking to her, and she's like, I put some CBD on my elbow. I was like, oh, it's going legal federally so fast now.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That was the smartest thing they could have done, because old people call their senators and bug the shit out of them.
You get old people using pot, they'll change them laws real fucking
fast.
It's
happening because of CBD. Yeah. That's what
we got to get old people on acid next.
It's that, that boomer generation's coming through there, but they're.
Hashtag somebody drugging old folks home. We got to jumpstart this process.
Let's do it.
We are off the topic. So I was talking about that first page of Google results for Hoxsey Therapy with the Amazon book, you know, When Natural Cures Became Illegal. Right below that is the website for a documentary, Hoxsey, How Healing Becomes a Crime. And at the very bottom of the page, Billy Wayne Davis, is a PDF on the Hoxsey treatment by Darcy Naturals, an herbal medicine-focused clinic in Natick, Massachusetts. So... The people at Darcy really fucking love them some Harry Hoxsey, and their write-up includes a bio of him that I find fundamentally hysterical. Quote, Hoxsey and his formula still enjoy popular appeal, even though they have suffered 40 years of harsh attacks in the press, relentless prosecutions in the courts. He was arrested more times than anyone in U.S. medical history, 100 times just in Dallas. And they're trying to make him out to be a good, like, everything they write about him makes him seem like a fucking gigantic fraud. More than 100 times in Dallas.
Just in the place he lived, they kept arresting him for doing bad stuff.
If you are white, you really got to work to get arrested in Dallas.
Was a white dude, you guys.
One of my good friends who listens, whose name we'll say starts with a J, was driving without like a license or registration for a very long period of time before he got busted.
Yeah.
Like... Oh, no, I think he just had tickets against him. I don't know. I think he did have a license. Yeah.
Well, if you watch the news in Dallas.
There was a period of like a year where every time I got in the car, it'd be like, if I get pulled over, I'm going to jail.
I did that for 2 years and didn't know I was doing it and driving around the country with a suspended license. And then I got pulled over and the cop's like, this is suspended. I was like, no shit.
Oh, shit?
Yeah. You have to go to jail. Do you know that? I did.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
So, the Darcy Naturals write-up continues. Persecution by government agencies, public warning against toxic cancer treatment that the FDA ordered mounted in 46,000 U.S. post offices, and a virulent personal vendetta mounted against him by the head of the American Medical Association, Morris Fishbein. They misspelled Fishbein as Fishbein, because these aren't serious people.
Well, you know, they're not. Details aren't super important in medicine. So
now, they aren't wrong that Morris Fishbein had a vendetta against Hoxie. He had famously noted in 1965, of all the ghouls who feed on the bodies of the dead and the dying, the cancer quacks are the most vicious and most heartless, which is a pretty fucking good quote.
Yeah, it is.
Now, you know who won't ghoulishly feed on the bodies of the dead and dying?
Koch brothers?
No, they would do that just for fun, not even for food.
Yeah.
And for the erotic thrill.
I always forget about that part of it.
Yeah, no, it's critical. Yeah, the products and services that support this podcast. It's another ad break.
Oh.
The evidence keeps pouring in. At this point, the facts are undeniable. It's an open and shut case. Monopoly Go is the most fun you can have in a mobile game. Millions of people pass Go every day because this game is always bringing something new to the table. Countless crazy tournaments you can join with your friends as partners or teams. Constantly changing challenges like money sprees or treasure hunts that keep it fresh with new wild mini-games. Timed events offering bonuses like massive multipliers or rent frenzies to help you get huge rewards. And there's so many rewards to discover. Rare stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums, delightful emojis to taunt people with when you raid their riches, unique playing pieces, and so much more. The verdict is in with Monopoly Go. There's something new to discover every time you play. So don't miss out. Go download it now for free on the App Store and Google Play.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
We're back. So, Darcy Naturals, the company that this PDF comes from, really ought to be looked into by somebody to see if they are breaking the law by providing Hoxie's treatment, because they definitely sell Hoxie formula pills for $36.99 per bottle. It is unclear to me as to whether or not this is technically fine, because they're just selling herbal supplements to people.
With that name?
I don't know.
Do they just using that name and not the poison?
Yeah, it's the
shit?
Same supplement, probably. Like, I'm guessing less toxic than most of the shit he used, because you get the feeling from him that sometimes his guys are just pouring shit in jars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're breaking the law or not. It would be cool if someone looked into that. Maybe somebody, I know there's a lot of journalists who listen to the show. Here's a fun lead. Look into Darcy Naturals and see if they're breaking some laws. The site is really entertaining reading, though, and it somehow manages to make Harry Hoxie sound even shadier while trying to defend him. Quote, "How did Harry and his formula survive? Why weren't they extinguished? It's an amazing story, full of Hollywood-like intrigues. They survived by the most amazing truth of all, the testimony of healed patients. This was Hoxie's only defense at every trial and Senate committee meeting. He never lost one AMA quack trial or slander trial because of this moving, powerful defense from the experience of hundreds of cancer survivors." Note that they don't include all of the FDA trials he lost.
No, well, that's not important. That's not.
"Battling against the American medical establishment of the day, not one cancer patient ever testified against him, given to carrying wads of cash to be able to post bail at any times. His fortune coming from oil investments, his patients would gather at the jail in a show of support, hastening his release." If I know one thing about someone who's not a criminal, it's that they always have bail money ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone I know that has bail money ready is like, yeah. Mm-hmm. All my friends that have bail money in their sock pocket, it's because they're always just chilling. Just hanging out.
Every person I've ever had who informed me of the use of having, I think it was like $20. The rumor, at least going around, is that if you keep like 20, it was like a $20 or $40 in your pocket, if you get arrested in Dallas, then you can like pay to get bonded out right away or something. I don't know. I assumed it wasn't true. But everyone who told me that and kept $40 or whatever in their shoe was somebody who sold me drugs.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Real drugs. Good drugs.
Yes. No,
not always good drugs.
They're legitimate people. Not in the upstanding world, but they are
honest
legitimate.
Honest salesmen. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Yeah. So the write-up from Darcy Naturals notes that senators, judges, lawyers, and some doctors endorsed his treatment. Three types of people who aren't doctors, and a couple of doctors, endorse this. It's real medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "Hoxie's larger-than-life personality, unfortunately, fit the stereotypical image of a quack, coupled by it with a confrontational style, set him head-on to clash with the medical authorities for decades."
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's so good.
They're
fuck these people, but it's funny.
It's hilarious, because they're like, he's a quack, but people are like being mean about it.
Now, Hoxie was obviously not the first person to lie about being able to cure cancer, but you might call him the founding father of the fake cancer cure industry. He invented the way to sell it and the way to turn snake oil into more than just a get-rich-quick scheme. Before Hoxie, grifters sold nonsense medicine. After Hoxie, nonsense medicine was its own culture, a series of interlocking fake treatments, bogus medical philosophies, and fringe newspapers linked together by a couple of colorful figures and a shared hatred of the mainstream medical establishment. Does that sound familiar at all to anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1970s, Latril treatments became the vogue cancer cure among people who didn't actually want real cancer cures. And Latril is usually marketed as vitamin B17 or amygdalin. What it really is cyanide. It turns into cyanide in your body. It does not cure cancer. But the galaxy of clinics in Tijuana that had followed Hoxie into Mexico were happy to poison desperate Americans in exchange for piles of cash. In 1980, Steve McQueen died in Mexico taking Latril treatments. In 2006, Coretta Scott King died from complications from ovarian cancer in a Rosarito clinic. Mexican officials shut down the Santa Monica Health Institute in the wake of this. Great name for a fake cancer clinic in Rosarito, though. Makes people think it's in California. yeah. or in, you know, the state of California.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in general, though, I will say one of the positives of this episode is that the fake cancer clinic industry in Mexico is on a downswing. 9/11 had a huge part to do with this. Before 9/11, traveling to Mexico was basically the same as driving to another state if you lived in like California or Arizona. And so people could just kind of like drive across the border and get treatment. Afterwards, it required a passport, which reduced at least the number of poor Americans who could blow their savings in Mexico on bogus medicine. I'm not generally in favor of this change, but this is one positive thing that it did. You know, it helped kill these clinics.
You see George W. Bush taking credit. Hey, I cut down on the fight
that
cancer
was the
shit.
Goal. That's not it. Racism. Yeah.
Wasn't racism. Like,
I think you should be able to travel to Mexico for whatever reason, as long as Mexico's fine with it. But yeah, it does make sense that this would reduce the number of poor people getting grifted by this.
And hey, we didn't mean for poor people to hold on to their money. That's a bad side effect of what we did.
We'll take it away. Don't you worry. We'll get that money out of their hands.
We didn't mean for poor people to hold on to money longer than they need to. We didn't mean
no,
for that.
No, don't worry. Once poor people get back from Iraq, we will take all the money we gave them. Don't you worry. Yes. We'll find a way.
We're going to get that money back.
Yeah.
That's investment.
The Hoxie Clinic is still holding on, though. And I ran across one 2006 article about some of its modern-day patients, and it's fucking heartbreaking. Quote, "For many, the journey to an alternative cancer clinic in Mexico is their last hope. Some still wear bandages from a recent surgery. Some are weak from chemotherapy or radiation. But others appear healthy, the result, they said, of unorthodox treatments that have struggled for decades to gain acceptance from the U.S. healthcare industry. Every 3 months, Norberto Fanuel, 57, and his wife Alice, 56, of Fernley, Nevada, drive to the border town of San Ysidro, California, staying at a Best Western hotel where they receive a discounted rate and a free shuttle to the cancer clinics across the border. They'll need that discounted rate because back in 2006, the Hoxie treatment cost $3,500 up front, plus additional costs that ran up to $5,000. This is more or less in line with the cost of treatment back in Harry Hoxie's day." So that's cool. Yeah, and it's a bummer. Fanuel in the article is convinced that, like, the ultrasound shows his cancer shrunk. Maybe he never had cancer. I don't know. Or maybe he's dead now. I haven't been able to find any information on whether or not he's alive or what happened with his treatment. I hope he's okay. I hope. Yeah. I don't know.
No, it is.
He just seems like some poor guy who got conned. If there is one piece of good news about the current day status of the Hoxie treatment, it's that the actual ingredients used in the Hoxie treatment seem to have stabilized. Today, there are Facebook pages and web forums where patients discuss the best ways to augment their Hoxie treatment with diet or even administer the herbal ingredients for themselves. So while the actual original Hoxie treatment was wildly inconsistent, today's batches are usually a predictable list of substances. That said, they're not the kind of substances you necessarily want to just be fucking around with. Here's what a write-up in the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center says about several of them. "High levels of iodine from the potassium iodide can cause pimples, excessive secretion of the eyes and nose, impotence, and inflammation of salivary glands. Buckthorn, one of the ingredients in the herbal tonic, is a violent laxative and can cause abdominal pain, dehydration, anxiety, decreased respirations, diarrhea, nausea, trembling, and vomiting. Cascara, one of the ingredients in the herbal tonic, is a laxative and can cause abdominal pain, cramping, diarrhea, discoloration of urine, fluid and electrolyte imbalance, softening of the bones, fat in the feces, vitamin and mineral deficiencies, and vomiting.
Whoa!
Pokeweed, one of the ingredients in the herbal tonic, causes nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and abdominal cramps. Ingestion has been associated with illnesses requiring hospitalization and has caused deaths in children."
I shit my insides out. That's what
that means. It's working.
It means, well, you're fixed. Yeah. No,
shit,
I mean,
yourself to better health with the Hoxie treatment.
I can see my heart beating in the toilet. That's what you gave me. God.
Unbelievable. Great stuff. Billy.
Yes.
You feel like you might have some cancer after all this?
I mean, yeah, every time anyone says it, I'm always like, probably. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
probably.
I don't know.
Well, you all heard it here. The Hoxie treatment is the flawless, unproblematic way to treat your illness.
It's just
thoroughly endorse it.
It's just an industry that you don't even think about, because if you start to think about it, first you understand how easily people can be conned, because it's the most desperate part of their whole existence, is they're just trying to extend their life. Yeah. And everywhere they go that's reputable is like, oh, we don't
I'm
know.
I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do.
We don't yeah. fucking know. It's like, this sucks.
Yeah.
That'll be $1 million.
Yeah, we don't know. We will need half of the money you've earned in your entire life.
Your whole life.
Because we told, like, yeah, it's so much of this is wrapped up in, I am legitimately, I mean, like, obviously, like, we're going to do an episode about Black Salve in the very near future, which is very much a descendant of all this. But, like, two of the places where it's most commonly used are Australia and the UK. So, obviously, the entirety of the solution is not Medicare for all or socialized medicine or whatever. But I do think it helps.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, yeah. Damn. Good luck, so, everybody.
You want to plug your pluggables?
Yes. If you want to follow me on any of the socials, just Google Billy Wayne Davis and all that stuff comes up, your favorite one. I'm on there. And then I'm going on tour all over the place. So hit up BWD Tour for all those dates. I'm continuing to update them. So holler.
Yay.
Yep. And if you want to find me online, you can just Google Mike Bloomberg for president because,
ew, Robert,
you know,
stop.
There's really
Jesus.
No daylight
Whoa.
Between
That's where I found you.
Look, I'm bloom-pilled, guys. I've been bloom-pilled. I'm on the bloom train. I'm blooming out. I'm a blooming onion of politics now.
Robert,
and there's just no getting
Robert,
around that.
Robert.
Sophie.
Don't become the bad guy.
Sophie, I have always been the bad guy, and you know that better than anyone.
That's kind of true. Oh, you can find Robert on Twitter at IWriteOK. You can also check out some of his writing from Bell and Cat. It's really good. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BastardsPod. We have a website where you can find the footnotes under the episode descriptions if you scroll down. T Public Store. Robert also is a co-host of Worst Year Ever. Did I do it?
You did it. You did a
beautiful.
Perfect job, Sophie.
Thank you,
so much
Billy.
Better a job. I am very excited about us transitioning away from me doing this at all and just collecting a paycheck while you do the podcast. Very excited.
Maybe you are Team Bloomberg.
Oh, yeah, baby. All right. Episode over. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.